Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another fantastic week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right, we're going to kick off this episode like we did last week, and the week before, and the week before that. And that is share one of you amazing listeners who's using our hashtag #StrSharesunday. Of course, STR stands for short-term rental. If you use that hashtag on Instagram, we are prowling it. We want to share you here on the podcast. And then, of course, on our Instagram on Sundays. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
Today, we are sharing at the Zen Retreat, and Zen is Z-I-N. So that's right, the Zen Retreat, I guess. I hope that's right. And this is hosted by Adri, and I hope I'm saying your name right too, but I'm going for it today. I don't care if I'm mispronouncing stuff because this place is great. So a couple of things that I wanted to highlight here, and this is a private guest house in California. And what I love is she has a private courtyard for her small guest house. And she highlights that throughout the listing. And I think that's important because I know a lot of times people, if they're on the same property with the owner, they really want to understand, am I going to have space to myself? And she makes sure to highlight that throughout, that there is a private courtyard that's fenced in for them to enjoy by themselves. But some other stuff that we haven't really talked about before, and I think we'll see what our guest today has to say about it. But if you've been hosting for a while and you've had some financial success, I think, you know, we're getting ready to the new year. There's going to be a lot of holiday sales. Time to upgrade some things. And in this particular space, she has a Keurig and a French press. I think maybe start to think about your guest, and maybe they want the Keurig, maybe they want a French press, maybe they want a tea kettle, maybe they want a Mr. Coffee. They're all pretty reasonably priced. I'm just thinking, start to think about your guest, and maybe everyone doesn't like coffee the same exact way that you do, and maybe they like tea or decaf. So really just start to broaden your horizon. And I like that she has that because it's a tiny home. So she doesn't have much space, but she has supplied that. And also did some amazing wallpaper work. I just want to give a shout out to the wallpaper because it's in the bathroom and I was feeling it. And last but not least, in her Instagram, she did a great job of linking to her local tourism website and linking to specific things in their blog, like 5 date night ideas. So please utilize your local tourism council. They would love if you shared their information on their site. That's what they want. They want tourists coming to their site and taking part in the activities that they have highlighted. So if you have not gone to your local tourism, you can, like ours, I know here in Columbus, you can walk in and get pamphlets galore. You can get all the updates on everything that's going on around town. So if you have not done that yet, look yours up online, or if they have a brick and mortar place that you can walk into and grab some you know, pamphlets for your guests, please do that. So well done, the Zen Retreat. Give them some love, and hopefully there's some takeaways there for you to work on your listing this week. Sarah, let's get into with today's guest.
Yeah. So listeners, today we've got on the show, I would say, an expert guest. We're going to reverse engineer all the thinking that you have into your short-term rental. And honestly, what is really pulling at a potential guest's heartstrings, right? Or finger to click on your space and actually purchase now? Is it what you think it is? So who do we have on the show today? Who's going to give us highlight or shed some light on things that we may not be thinking about as hosts? We have Zach Boozy Cruz is the co-founder of Spontaneous. Get it? I love it. A weekly newsletter that brings subscribers the best last-minute deals and upcoming steals on Airbnb. And the Behind the Stays podcast, a podcast that explores the stories behind the best Airbnbs and the hosts who've made them memorable. So listeners, maybe one of you could be featured on that. Zach and his wife and fellow co-founder Gabby have spent the past 12 months living on Airbnb. They've stayed in 50 Airbnbs from California to Maine and almost everywhere in between. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's super exciting to be here. I was telling Annette earlier that I spend a fair amount of my time hosting podcasts. So it's a real treat when I'm, you know, get to be a guest on one. It doesn't happen too often. So thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, we are so excited to pick your brain and everything you've learned in this hyper-focused guest stay you've had across our great country. You've actually given us some really great ideas as to how we can dig in to what makes a short-term rental great. I know you feature Airbnbs, but truly any bookable space could benefit from your insight. Annie, do you want to kick that off?
Yeah. And listeners, I want you to keep in mind that the recommendations that Zach is giving today, him and his wife, they've been traveling the country. They have been very focused. They've been working from these locations. So they have a different, you know, we're going after more of the work from home digital nomad perspective than a straight vacationer's perspective. So please keep that in mind. And Sarah and I, we talk about it on a lot of shows. We do believe that this is going to be the future of, I mean, it's already here. It's going to continue on. And if you're in those locations that don't seem to be as much as a vacation spot, you know, these are some of the travelers that are going to be coming to you. So Zach, walk us through this, you know, this framework of, you know, how you decide where you and your wife are going to stay.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, when we first started out, we, you know, used the filters that Airbnb offered. It was funny that we had two very different approaches to how we would find our places. I started on Airbnb. I was like, well, I know what our monthly budget's going to be roughly. So here's kind of what that translates to a nightly rate. I was sorting primarily by price. And then I would, you know, look through a number of listings, always paying attention to sort of the quality of the photography, obviously, which is something I'm sure you guys talk a lot about on this show. The copy, right? Like, does this listing use the same adjectives that every other listing uses, right? The threshold for what beautiful and incredible and amazing place means is so different to so many different people. So I took a very, I would say, like a linear approach to search, whereas my wife took a very different approach. What she would do is she spent a ton of time just Googling, finding blogs, finding places that had been featured or written up. Because again, we could go anywhere, right? And so when you can go anywhere, it's hard to know how to filter directly on Airbnb. So she went and found, you know, Airbnbs with the best kitchens and Airbnbs, you know, with great work from home setups. And she would just do a lot. She just Googled a lot. And she would go, she'd find these blogs, and then she'd click through from the blogs to these listings and then say, hey, this beautiful place in Maine is available in the second week of October. Like, let's book it. So that was how we started our search. And as we got into it, it evolved to basically like falling in love with Airbnb's map view, where we would just literally scroll out using the map view saying, okay, we roughly know that we need to get from Tennessee to, you know, Ohio or wherever. What in between there, where might we be able to stay for a week in between these two states? And so we just spent a lot of time using the map feature, which, you know, it doesn't seem like it always works the same way all the time. It's really funny actually how it works. But that was how we, you know, in the most general of senses, began our search.
Okay. And then once you would, let's say you wouldn't pinpoint via a blog an exact spot, like how would you start to decipher in a town than if you were like, hey, we're going from A to C, where we got to stop somewhere in between, how would you start to decipher where to stay when it was just, we're going to the city and we need to find a spot?
Well, what was, you know, super interesting about all of this was like, we're obviously traveling in the middle of a pandemic. And so we weren't necessarily trying to go be downtown, right, in a incredibly populated city. And therefore, like a lot of the places we ended up staying in and, you know, that we've stayed in have been in towns we'd never even heard of, right? Like very like rural places, places on the outskirts of major metropolitan areas as well, for sure. But, what we would really do is we would read through a ton of listings. Like, you know, I don't know how, when you're setting up an I don't have my own Airbnb or I don't have my own short-term rental. So I'm sure it varies depending on who you are as a host. But when you're setting up, right, your profile and you're listing your space, I wonder if anyone wonders how much time do people actually spend reading this stuff? Like, let me just write a couple sentences, call it a day and whatnot. But like travelers like us, at least, I mean, we legitimately read every word on every listing, trying to figure out, okay, is this space going to be conducive to what we need right now? And again, to your earlier point, that like we were working, so we weren't on vacation. So we needed spaces that were livable and that were conducive to inspiration, quite frankly. We both do a lot of creative work, right? And so like natural light was important to us. And so if it was obvious that we were going to be in a place for a while, we wanted to make sure that there were good windows, right? And like, mm-hmm. not everyone always takes great pictures of their windows, right? And so we spent a lot of time scrutinizing reviews, reading through the description of the space, and really quite honestly, paying attention to how it was described. Like the adjectives had so much influence over where we ultimately ended up deciding to stay.
How influential were the reviews? Like if you were going, is there like a red flag in a review that you're like, you know, run the other way? Like we're not going to even look past that.
So anytime there's reviews where it's like, there was a, you know, there were a couple that there was a mouse infestation or as we were staying here, like the roof was leaking. If there was anything major like that, it was at least a yellow flag. But what we would always do is we'd always see like, did the host respond to it, right? And again, you guys probably talk about this all the time, but there's a fair number of Airbnbs where there are bad reviews and there's no response. Like it's like the host doesn't respond to the bad review. And I mean, in that case, we would immediately move on, right? Whereas if a host did respond to the review and said, hey, I'm so sorry, like, you didn't tell me about this during your stay. Like, I wish I could have helped remedy the situation. You know, we oftentimes gave the host the benefit of the doubt in that context. But what we would actually do is, this is actually why I think maybe a pro tip for hosts as well. Thinking about your space, try to be thinking about the kind of review that you want people to leave. Like, what is your ideal review, right? From a guest. And then almost proactively find ways to create spaces or add little amenities here and there that will get you those reviews, right? Because what we would do is we would, you know, use the command F tool, the search tool, and we'd look up like, you know, kitchen, and we'd see what were all the things said about the kitchen, about this place, right? Or we'd look up, you know, beds, and we wanted to make sure that people weren't like, the beds were super, you know, uncomfortable. So again, we because we were living and working in these spaces and it wasn't just vacation, we probably went a little bit overboard in terms of our analysis. But I think, you know, you guys know this better than I do, but short-term rentals are a thing. Like everyone wants one. I mean, it's becoming more competitive. And so you do need to be paying attention to these things if, you know, you want someone to choose your place instead of the place, you know, to the left or to the right of them on, you know, on their search. So anyhow, hopefully that answered your question.
I want to go back to something you said and unpack it a little bit more. You mentioned how you're traveling for work and you need to work and live, and you were in a pandemic too. So at that time, I mean, we still are somewhat in one, but we're able to move about a little bit more freely. But then we were very much staying within all of our four walls. You yeah. said conducive to work from home. And I thought you were going to say things like a dedicated desk space or a printer. And instead you said the word creative and inspirational. So yeah. can we unpack that a little bit more? Because we do have listeners who come on here before they open their space, or maybe they're during a renovation, or they have the freedom to make some of these bigger decisions, or they've got a blank canvas that they're going to put funds towards as they make some money. What are some other than like the windows, like maybe they're in a, yeah. they're building new and they can put the big window in and then all that fresh light in. What are some other things that you looked for or didn't know you were looking for until you experienced them that really helped you feel inspired inside of a short-term rental?
Yeah, I'd say that, and I'm totally ripping this off of my wife. This is something that she's noticed and said, but
we'll give her a shout out. What's her name?
Her name is Gabby. Yeah. And what she says is, you know, there is elegance in simplicity, right? And like, you don't necessarily need, I think when folks think about decorating a space, there can be a temptation to like fill it with a bunch of like stuff or fill the shelves with all the books and all the flowers and all the candles, like, and you know, you can go a little overboard there, but there is something about like the places that we entered into where, you know, there are the lots of white walls or just like spaces where the use of color was like very intentional when it did pop up, but they were clean, they were bright. There's nothing worse than going into a space that feels really dark. And I think, you know, not all these homes are huge, right? And so when you're in a space that feels dark and that uses lots of dark colors, it can make the space feel even smaller than it actually is, mm-hmm. right? And so using things like lighter colors and even just the places that you could tell were old but had recently been like painted, it feels very different. Now that's a little bit more those are bigger projects, right? But a little bit more specifically, like to your point earlier, Annette, you know, you don't know how somebody takes their coffee, right? And like spending an extra, you know, $50, whatever it is, to have a Keurig and a Mr. Coffee, and, you know, and a French press. It's like those little things, like dramatically, they're so small. But like when you open a drawer and you're like, oh my gosh, like I like a French press, and you see a French press, it immediately elevates your perception of the overall experience. And that, you know, change, right? For $20-$30, whatever these things cost, right? Like totally, totally worth it.
Let's talk about those amenities. Like what are those two or three amenities that you and your wife were always just like, we have to have these or we're just going on to the next place. What are those like non-negotiable amenities for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, now, granted, I imagine, right, when you are creating a short-term rental, right, it's expensive, right? Like you've got a budget. Most of us probably don't have unlimited funds to do whatever the heck we want to with our places. And so where I don't think you should skimp out is don't skimp out on a bed. Like the bed is so important. If you have a crappy night's sleep and if it's just not comfortable, right, like your entire perception, especially actually more so if you are on vacation, right? Your entire perception of the place is going to go down. Even if it's beautiful, if people can't sleep, people get cranky when they can't sleep, right? And when people are cranky, they have, you know, not nice things to say about their overall experience. So not skimping on the bed, I think is really important. Where I think you can totally save money is like, there's some really cool, like light fixtures, right? And lamps and whatnot that aren't dramatically expensive, but almost give a cool vibe. Like I think about like the Edison light bulbs, right? Like Edison, like you can get very affordable lamps with Edison light bulbs. Save money there, right? Save money on, you know, maybe your cutlery if you need to, but like, don't skimp out on the bed. I also think the second thing is a good couch, right? Like where you're going to be sitting and watching TV or sitting by the fire, whatever it is. Make sure that it's a nice couch. It's totally worth investing in. Again, I would imagine from a host perspective, if you buy something cheap, it's going to get beat up. It's going to get ripped. You're probably going to have to replace it more often than if you actually just spend money on like a nice thing right up front, right? So those are, I'd say, the two big things. What I also think is something that maybe gets overlooked a little bit is like the quality of the towels. So having nice towels too, right, really does make a difference. And there have been places where, you know, everything's clean, but like you can tell it's like, dang, this towel appears to be incredibly worn. Like it's, of course, like it's not gonna make or break this day. But like, I also feel like those are small things where it's like, you're in a stranger's home. People are coming in and out of this place every other night, right? Invest in good towels. Like it's a relatively small thing, but I do think it makes a difference.
And if I could, listeners too, this is actually something we just added to our quarterly maintenance checklist for our short-term rentals is yes, make sure the bed is comfortable, but also make sure you're tightening the screws, especially if it doesn't matter if it's wood construction or metal construction, but if the bed is squeaky every time you turn over.
Yeah.
Because I recently stayed at an Airbnb near Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, and the mattress was fine. But every time you adjusted, the whole bed just made noises. So, and you don't know, if the guest doesn't tell you, but all it takes is for you and your inspection, you go through it, like, you know, move the bed a little bit and see if things don't need tightened. So that was something we just added actually to our checklist. So what are some things that you think maybe hosts you've seen like maybe focus too much on that you're like, no one cares about this, you guys. Like this is not, no, relax. Like it's okay.
Yeah. Several things come to mind. The first thing though is that in the kitchen, right? Like you do want to have everything, especially if you're a nomad and you're living on Airbnb full-time or you're living in short-term rentals full-time. You want to make sure you've got everything that you need to cook. But there is a fine line between like having everything that you need and having way too much, right? So we've been in some places where it's like you open the cabinets and stuff's basically falling out, right?
No.
It's like there are too many dishes, there are too many forks, there are too many. And again, it's like this seems so picky and it's not that big of a deal at the end of the day. But right, like when you're trying to cook in a space, like how it's organized, how cabinets are organized, it does leave an impression on you. It's like, well, if you open cabinets, it's just crammed full of crap. Like even if it's usable stuff and you're opening a drawer and it's stuck because there's just so much stuff in it. Like, no, like, come on. Like there's beauty and simplicity. There's elegance and simplicity. Like find a few good things, right? Like find, maybe it's a cast iron pan and a couple other things. And that should be fine for most people, right? Or get one baking sheet or two baking sheets, not six baking sheets. So having a kitchen that's like overly crowded is actually disruptive to your experience as a guest. The other thing that I'd say is when it comes to air fresheners, right?
Oh.
I think that everyone thinks a little bit differently when it comes to smell, right? And like, just because something smells great to you, it could be incredibly overpowering to somebody else, right? So we've been in places where you walk in and you're just hit with like a waft of smell. And not that it's a bad smell, but it's overpowering. And then before you know it, your shirt, your, you know, hat, your backpack, everything starts smelling like this thing. And I've had to go and find, you know, these air fresheners and unplug them or like go hide them in another room just because of how overpowering they are. So I would say, like, in general, maybe light a candle in there while you're cleaning or something, blow it out, and don't fill your space with a bunch of air fresheners. So those are two quick things that come to mind.
No, I used to use the plugins, and I stopped after a guest, unplugged every single one of them, put them in individual bags and set them outside. I was like, okay, duly noted, you did not like those. And
they never smell, they're like, you know, lighter smell or like more, they never ever smell great. And they always smell fake.
And I'll give my mom a shout out. My mom has a severe allergy to flowers and floral scents. Like she can't even go, like she can't have flowers in the house or go to like, she can't go to certain places. Like if there's floral, like she will go into like, you know, she'll have a severe allergic reaction. So it's like, that's something too that you don't think about, that there might be an allergy or just what Zach was saying is like some people, like something that smells good to you might just smell completely offensive.
Yeah.
We've all been there when you're like out and like someone walks in with their cologne and you're like, they really think that smells good or that perfume. So what we think smells nice or even is put on the shelves by, you know, these brands might not. That's a really good point of you're going to penetrate the entire home with a potential scent that the guest doesn't like. What are some of your most memorable stays that like you weren't anticipating? You're like, oh, that amenity rocks. Like, I didn't know I was going to enjoy that as much as I did. Or like something that just kind of, you were pleasantly surprised about.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were so fortunate to stay in some just wonderful places. Our favorite Airbnb of all time, of all, you know, 50 that we've stayed in thus far, has been this place in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine. And Booth Bay Harbor in Maine, for those who aren't aware, it's about an hour north of Portland, Maine. And the home is called the Sparrow's Nest. And it is, I mean, it takes short-term rental and like your expectations for short-term rentals to a whole new level. And the host, Susie and Neil, they live on the property actually. And they live in a separate house. It's a guest house on the property. And everything about the space is just special. You know, you walk in and Susie has a diffuser actually. And so you do walk in and you smell lavender, but how Susie does it, it works at least for me. And my wife. So you walk in and you smell lavender coming through the diffuser. It's a small cottage. It's like a 2-bedroom cottage. It's got this like French chics mixed with like, you know, coastal vibe to it. Everything is like immaculately clean. And it's simple. Again, it's simple, but it's just, it's so beautiful in its simplicity. But you know, the first, I think, thing that we noticed about Susie's place and really the way that she hosted is she really, really thought about the experience, right? So she wanted to make sure that if it was, whatever the season was, that you had some local treat that was, that aligned with the season, that, you know, she had apple trees. She'd pick fresh apples from her apple trees and leave some on, you know, the table for us. You know, every other day she'd come by and drop off fresh flowers from her garden, right? Like, I mean, just these seemingly small things, but that make an incredibly unique experience. And I think when it comes to short-term rentals in general, the big benefit I see as a traveler between short-term rentals and just your run-of-the-mill hotel, even run-of-the-mill nice hotel, is that you're living in a space that is cared for by its owners and other people, as opposed to like a major corporation, and therefore like the space has a story, right? And each like artifact that is in the space, from the appliances to, you know, the books on the bookshelves to the decor on the walls to the soaps that they pick, right? There's intentionality behind that, right? And there's a reason why they picked the things that they picked. And so I think a surprising amenity, to answer your question a little bit more directly, has actually been, you know, appliances and having, like, Susie had this, like, really, it was a small, you know, small space, but a small, cute, like, Italian oven where you could, like, cook a delicious, you know, like, brick oven pizza in it. And I never knew that I would care so much about an oven, but, like, this was like, oh my gosh, like, it immediately made you feel like you were cooking in, like, what I can only imagine a 5-star or a Michelin star restaurant kitchen might feel like and you know, look like. So anyways, I know I went a little off there, but I do think at the end of the day, it's really neat when you can tell as a guest that there was thought put behind what was curated for the home, yeah. Whether that's soaps, whether that's, you know, the art. Like, it's always fun when you don't just see what's expected. Like, there are trends. Like, you do see, like, the same photo that's used in, like, every Airbnb. Like, there is this photo, and it must be, like, a series, because I've seen a couple versions of it, of, like, I don't know if it's like a buffalo.
It's the steed.
It's the steed.
No, it's the target steed.
We got to know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, everywhere.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but you notice after you've been to something, you're like, oh, there it is. Again, yeah. There it is again.
Yes, yes.
So when you don't have the steed and it's been replaced by something else, like, it is, you notice it and it stands out. And you want to know the story behind behind the piece and why the homeowner collected it for this particular space.
You know, just going to get on my soapbox very quickly here, but this is just why, you know, Annette and I tend to get a little turned off when everyone, you know, when people who want to be hosts are in it for the quantity of places to manage, right? Because it's like, I don't understand the desire for that. So then go buy a building and build a hotel, right? Because you're just making it harder on yourself. You want these houses that are all different snowflakes, and you're just going to put a bunch of Target steeds in them. And, you know, and after a while, guests can sniff that out. And right. So I just love that, you know, listeners, we did not talk to Zach.
Yeah, we are not like paying Zach to give
tips. This is why we really believe. And I'm not saying, you know, we manage like 30 properties, right? But we are directly in contact with every owner. We just today, like, we knew why Juan was coming to stay at one of our properties on South 4th Street, right? We had Prosecco, and because he was staying for his anniversary. So, right, is when you lose touch of that, that's when I think you really need to take a step back and remember why you're sharing your home or why you want to help someone share their home. I have some more questions for you as a host. Okay. I'm going to do a rapid fire. Okay.
And we'll make sure, will you share Susie's listing so we can share it with our listeners in the show notes?
Cool. Okay. Cool.
I will.
Okay. Okay. These are new questions. I think our listeners will be like, oh yeah, Sarah, good one. Okay. Here's my question for you. When you were filtering out your stays and you were using price.
Yeah.
Did you understand that there is inherent value in being able to rent a place out short term, fully stocked, all utilities paid, Wi-Fi? We find, because there's an influx of new travelers we're finding in our business. And a lot of people want these places at the same price that you can get a long-term renter in our markets to agree to a year stay. We don't have to furnish it. We don't have to, you know, answer you within an hour. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that, what do you think that's about? The disconnect between, you know, a long-term rental price per night and a short-term rental?
I mean, I do think you're talking probably about a couple of different audiences. One, it's like, yeah, people are trying to live nomadically, which has certainly been this, you know, uptick. More and more of our friends, even if it's not live nomadically, it's like, well, I'm going to spend a month doing this thing.
Right.
It's many people can work from wherever. And so I think what it is, to be totally candid, is it's a failure to understand that when done right with short-term rentals, it's not just a place to crash. It really is like an experience, but unfortunately, not everyone delivers that experience, right? And so, like, I think experiences should come at a premium. Like, Susie, I last summer or last fall when we stayed with her twice now, and we've already booked a third time with her because we love her place. I convinced her. I was like, you have to increase the price. Like, this is just, you're not charging enough.
I love that.
This is what you're doing here is so special. And you know, you charge more. And she did. And she's still fully booked. It's like amazing and whatnot. And so I think that the biggest disconnect, to answer your question very concisely, is like, if you're going to charge more than what an individual would expect to pay for a longer term, 12-month lease or 6-month lease, whatever it might be, you absolutely should and you can, as long as it's coupled with something else, right? And again, that something else is for, up to the host to decide. Like, mm-hmm. maybe it's, hey, you invested in really nice like linens, right? Or you invested in, you just bought all this brand new appliances. Like, they're not going to get that if they go to the apartment down the street. So as long as I think it's coupled with something else. But again, I think what's really hard is that it's hard for the guest to see that mm-hmm. from the listing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to understand that. No. Like, when you go to Annette's place, it's not just this beautiful home, right? You're going to feel taken care of. You're going to feel hosted, right? It's not just a transaction. It's not a landlord. It's a real host. Mm-hmm. And I do think in our experience, way more often than not, that was our experience. But I think for newer travelers or people that aren't as used to operating in sort of a short-term rental space, finding ways in your listing to help communicate more about the experience that they will get will justify higher prices.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Would you ever, when you're like, do you ever ask your, like, I'm sure you and your wife have a budget, at least an idea. If there was a place, have you ever reached out to a host to ask, negotiate price at all if it was close to your budget? And what's been your track record with that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm giving out a little bit of our secret, but,
give
100%,
it up.
100%, and what we were able to do is we were able to say, hey, like, we've got this podcast. We'd love to feature your story and your place on our show.
Could
we have a, little bit of a discount to make this work? And so we had a little bit of, maybe like,
well, you were giving something. I like that. If a guest is going to reach out and ask for something like that, I like that you had like, hey, I'm not just asking for this. I have a give-ask relationship, not just an ask relationship.
Exactly. And what we would also do too is it's like, we would look, I mean, again, because we were pretty last minute when we booked. And so if a place was available, mm-hmm. we'd be like, hey, look, if you can't book this by this date and you want to book it, I'll book
Ooh,
it.
I like that.
I'll book it at this price. And like we had so many examples of that happening where people would just say, hey, Zach, not sure if you're still looking at a place, but we've got availability starting Friday and it's Wednesday night. So if you haven't booked a place yet, like, it's yours. So that actually happened a fair amount.
I like that. Listeners, take that. Like, so that's a great idea. If a guest is asking for a discount that you can't, you're not comfortable with
yet.
You can't honor quite yet. That's a great way to say no, but yeah, like not right now. So you can say, hey, I can't honor this price. I can't honor this right now, but if for some reason these dates are still available and you're still looking for a spot, I can work with you on that. So that's a way to like not completely shoot them down. No, if it's something that's within your, within your budget on your side, but that is a great way to give, like, kind of put the ball back in their court. Like, well, I can give you that discount, but I won't be able to give it to you until 2 days before those dates, mm-hmm. if they're still available. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to like say, okay, sure, but not right now.
Yeah.
Not right now.
But to your point, I mean, we've been convinced by hosts actually to pay full price. Like, meaning I've gone in and I've said things like, hey, like, we'd love to stay at your place. Could we have it at, this price per night? Let me know if that's feasible. Totally understand if it's not. We've had hosts come back to us and say, Zach, thank you so much for reaching out. I went and I looked at your podcast. I looked at your newsletter, all this stuff. What you're doing is really, really cool. unfortunately, this is, you know, my business, and I can't come down on my nightly rate. But my wife and I, like, this is our passion project. Like, if you come here, you're going to be taken care of. You're going to be excited. Like, I promise you, it's going to be worth this. This is going to be really great. Like, we go over and above to try to design an experience. And honestly, that, like, pitch back, I was like, wow, okay, well, yes, fine, let's do it, right? And again, you know, within reason, that didn't happen all the time. But when it did, 100% of the time, those hosts lived up to their words. And like, when we went and stayed at their place, I mean, it was unbelievably incredible and justified and helped me, you know, stomach like the cost. And afterwards thinking, you know what, I couldn't live at this place, but I can spend, you know, a few nights here and there at this place. And I'm so glad they're charging what they're charging because they went so over and above to deliver something exceptional.
Yeah, I'm glad you went there because I was going to say too, you know, something that we teach a lot and talk a lot about with our hosting business mastery methods is to know their numbers in terms of instead of what can you get per night, how much does it cost to run your space per night? So we're not paying for Zach to stay there, right? Like we want Zach to come, especially if you're a fantastic guest.
But at the end of the day,
you are a business listener. And so it is okay to say exactly what that host said to you, which is, you know, we would love, we see you're a great guest. We'd love to have you. However, we are a small business and we've chosen these numbers very carefully. We can promise you, you'll love your stay if you come. And if not, so it's okay to say no too when you know that it's rooted in a number that you know and understand.
Yeah.
Did you cancel or did you have to leave any of the short-term rentals that you chose online that did not live up to their listing?
So we did leave one place and we almost left another.
Ooh, okay.
We didn't cancel anything, but we were staying in, and it was not a cheap space. We were staying in a place, it was in Vermont.
Just let it go. Just tell us, we want to know why, though, so we don't have people ever, dicing out on us.
When we showed up, first of all, you know, people definitely have different definitions of like clean, and that's become apparent through our travels, right? And my like recommendation is like whatever you think your standard of clean is, like just for the sake of being safe, like elevate it 2 or 3x. Just even if you don't care, even if you think you're a clean person, just to be safe, just do it, right? It's worth, you know, if you're using a service or whatnot, it's worth paying a little bit more to make sure that like you have a quality clean. Because the last thing that you want to do is walk into a space and there's, you know, popcorn kernels like on the ground or worse. But anyway, this place in Vermont, we got to and it wasn't very clean, but it was in like, you know, the mountains. And we were like, well, you know, maybe it's just like dusty. And it was one of those things where you weren't sure, is it just not clean or is it like dust? Like what's going on here, right? And it was a cabin, you know, so, you know, we had appropriate expectations, I would say. And then we, you know, got to the kitchen, we opened stuff and like dishes just that were put away were like not clean. And just the cabin just felt a little bit like the beds were perfectly made. I mean, it felt quick. It felt rushed is what it felt like. It almost felt like, you know, like when you want to you don't have time to take a shower, but you're like, you're going to go out and you're like, you just douse yourself in like cologne or perfume or whatever. And you just call it a day. At face value, you smell good and you like look all right. But like really you're super dirty inside.
You know you're dirty.
exactly. Like the space felt like that. And then we were patient. It was a week long stay and we immediately contacted the host. Oh, well, this was the other thing, right? It was managed by a rental company. A management property managed the space for the owners and they weren't very responsive. And then eventually the straw that broke the camel's back was when we saw a mouse running through the kitchen. And my wife was just like, there were several other things. But my wife was like, we just got to go. Like, this is, you know, enough. So we did leave that one. And then we almost left a place in Portland, also just because it wasn't clean or it wasn't clean to a standard that we would have appreciated. And again, we were also in the middle of a pandemic. So it's kind of like, especially now, especially these days, like going that extra mile is significantly worth it.
Yep. And host, we say, Sarah and I, this is the message we want you to know all the time. It's like, once a guest finds one thing, you better believe it's going to be like this, like, just series of unfortunate, like it'll be like, okay, first they find something on the ground and then there's going to be a hair in the bath. And it's just, you've got to make sure. Yeah, it compounds every little thing. Like, so if there's, so you just have to know that keeping everything neat and tidy and everywhere in your house, you're from your, like the drawers to your closet, like you got to get that stuff so that, that people can see that you're paying attention.
And
to
it,
everything.
Matters. Yeah. Everyone, you know, there are so many, believe me, this is a net, what Annette and I, as much as we love helping the new host, the awesome host, we also have, we feel this duty to speak to these property managers or these companies that are in it just for the quantity. Cause it's really dragging down the industry and it's really making it hard for those hosts with a story to tell to kind of rise above this thing. And it's just so interesting that these people want to do the quantity thing because it's hard enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like one, two houses is hard enough because houses are, they're their own thing. Okay, as a traveling nomad too, how important it is to have things like outdoor space, washer and dryer? Because I right now we have a home actually that the owner, like, because they've got stuff in the basement they don't want guests to be a part of. I've tried to figure out how to toe that line because guests can't have access to the washer and dryer. How important do you think these days with people staying longer, do you think amenities like that are? Or was it no big deal to go to a laundromat?
Yeah, we never went to a laundromat. There were a couple times where we didn't realize, to be candid, that when we had booked a place that they didn't have a washer or dryer. Like, depending on this, you know, the season or the week that we were in, sometimes we were a little bit more rushed in booking a place than others and overlooked something. Right? Mm-hmm. There were a couple instances there, and it wasn't the end of the world because we knew that, you know, the next place that we were going would have a washer or dryer. But I do think that, like, at least if you can, ideally, it does seem like an amenity now that's not like so much a luxury good. It's kind of just like expected.
Yeah.
Especially if you do want to market towards folks that want to stay longer.
Right.
Like we've talked to people and it's like, oh, well, if you want a 7-night stay and you don't have a washer or dryer, it does just kind of put this unnecessary, like, ugh, well, you know, maybe we should keep looking. And then if we can't find something, like, we'll just deal with it, right? We'll deal with dirty laundry. But no one wants to deal with dirty laundry.
No.
But in outdoor space, I mean, that was a big ticket item for us. Like, especially, you know, because it's COVID when we were doing a ton of our traveling and having a dedicated outdoor space and actually putting, and a dedicated outdoor space, by the way, is not like two like lawn chairs that are like sitting in gravel, like
by themselves.
spend a little bit of time and money. Like, it doesn't, you can make a really nice outdoor space for cheap. It doesn't need, there's an IKEA table that we just got for a balcony. It's like $45. And it's like, if that had been at some of these places, it would have made the space feel so much more usable. Right. People love their whole like indoor outdoor living. And you know, Airbnb travelers or short-term rental travelers, especially folks that are staying longer, in the same way that you love your yard and your deck and your porch or your balcony, they want that too. So, I mean, to the point where on several occasions, we opted to pay more for a place that had outdoor space than for a place that we knew was nice, really nice, but just, we wouldn't be able to get outside.
Okay. I just have two more questions for you. Rapid fire questions. And just tying that up with a bow, listeners too, you know, with the furniture, the outdoor furniture and those sorts of things, think, yeah, you buy it once, but you, if you take care of it, you can use it this season, next season. And maybe that's when you may reel in the amenities. Maybe you give out a bottle of wine. You've got all these chips and cookies and crackers. That is a continuous influx of expenses in your place. Yeah. Whereas if you invest in some quality furniture that's going to last you season after season, just think about how much money that will make you when you have those beautiful photos that also cost you something one time. So on that note, just think about the investment side of what you put in and what Zach is telling us matters. But I've got two questions for you. One, they all revolve around entertainment. TV in the bedroom is my first one. And second one, how important is it for you for the host to offer you a login into, you know, Netflix or Hulu or cable? Like, do we, now that people have their own streaming accounts, we get a lot of this push, or this is the big conversation in the host community, right? Like, well, no, people have their own login for Netflix. TV in bedroom and then provide entertainment. What are your thoughts?
So maybe this is an unpopular opinion. I'm not a big fan of a TV in the bedroom. Only because, like, I mean, in our house, in our previous life, like we just never had a TV in our room. Like, we were pretty intentional about that. So is it make or break? No. I think it's more important that, the bedroom be like, have nice, like invest in nice sheets. Make sure there's like a good, make sure that there's a place to like put your luggage, by the way. Like, I know that sounds like such a small thing, but like when you're traveling, a lot of these rooms aren't like massive. A lot of the bedrooms aren't massive either. Having like a luggage stand, a suitcase stand, having hangers even for like your closet. I mean, we were in many places where like you'd open the closet, there were no hangers, right?
Yeah, it's so inexpensive.
It's fine.
No, it's not. It's not. It's like there's such an inexpensive thing.
Yeah, that's not fine.
It's like again, because there are things like you wouldn't go to a hotel and expect there to not be any place to hang your clothes.
Yeah, or put your bag or 100%. And then your other, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say the to answer your other question about the streaming service login. So we also have, you know, our own accounts. But what I will say is that so many times, like when we would go to an Airbnb, like someone would forget to sign out. So we would be looking like somebody else's Netflix or HBO Max or Hulu, they'd be logged in. And then you'd have to pick, you know, the profile and it'd be like Jim. And then you're like looking at, trying to be like, what does Jim like and what does Jim watch? And then you try to go pick your own profile or sign in or sign up. So, I mean, I'm sure that this is like a conversation that you all have with folks who have probably thought about this in way more detail than I have. But my recommendation would be like, I think hosts should buy, I think your Airbnb should have its own Netflix. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have all of them, but like pick a couple that you like, have your own account, and then ask people not to log into theirs. Like, and you know, I think some people still will. But if there is a way to jerry-rig it such that folks can't log in, or you specifically ask them not to, I think that would be preferred. Also, I have left my Netflix like logged into so many different Airbnbs, and you know, then you have people that are creating new profiles thinking it's their Netflix. And it's just, I've had to message hosts and be like, please like log me out of your TV, because I forgot and I keep getting all these random people creating profiles in my account. So again, my recommendation would be, if you can, have your own and specifically ask that people not sign into theirs.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. That was it. Thank you very much
for your input on those. Good stuff. So last but not least, let's just tell our listeners what you're currently doing after you hit the road, and what you learned and what you are starting to develop, and where they can reach out to you and find what you're bringing to guests.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, pretty soon after hitting the road and just spending hours and hours and hours curating and sorting through Airbnbs, and we did primarily stay at Airbnbs. And so that's, you know, most of our search happened there for sure. But along the way, we realized, you know, there are so many homes, and it's really hard to understand, you know, how to separate like the wheat from the chaff of short-term rentals, especially when you're looking in a place where there are hundreds or tens of thousands in many cases of places to stay. So we thought it would be helpful to kind of share our learnings. We've been pretty good at looking for and finding nice places that we've got used to knowing what to look for. So we started this little newsletter called Spontaneous, And what Spontaneous does is each week it brings the top 150 best last minute deals and upcoming deals on Airbnb to our subscribers. So we curate from over 3,000 different listings per week and find the top 150 that we feature. And so this is a cool opportunity for our subscribers, many of whom are last minute travelers and have a lot of flexibility. They're not all digital nomads by any means, but a lot of folks that can decide to go, work from New York for next week on a whim because they have that sort of flexibility. So what's been cool is it's helped hosts who have, unused space, unused days, be able to get in front of, new people who have that kind of flexibility, or like there's been a cancellation, right? Folks have been able to get their place booked by one of our last minute travelers. And so as a natural sort of iteration from Spontaneous, we literally just last week launched something that we call the showroom. And what the showroom is it's a special collection of short-term rentals that it's not a booking service. It's not like an Airbnb or a Plum Guide or a VRBO competitor by any means, but it's a way to showcase a little bit more of that experience that I was talking about earlier. Like our goal with the showroom is to tell more of the story behind the place so that in the same way before buying a car, you might go to the car showroom to check it out, to feel it a little bit more before you, make that purchasing decision. We hope that the showroom will be a place where you can vet these experiences, these potential stays just a little bit more before you decide to book. So that's an offering that we have for hosts that we, again, literally just launched last week. But we're new to this community. And so I'm just excited to learn from, people like you two and your listeners about what to do and not to do in the short-term rental space. And if there's anything else that we can do to add value and help people in this community, we'd love to do it. It's been such an exciting opportunity to get to meet folks slowly but surely. And I don't know, I just feel honored to be along for the ride.
And listeners, we'll make sure to link to everything so you can apply to be part of their, so twofold, you can be a subscriber to their list and then also potentially list your space on the showroom also. So we'll make sure that we link to those. But Zach, it's been a pleasure. I hope that our listeners were taking notes and going to go clean out their cabinets. But one last thing, you guys, I just started thinking though, I freaking love the way some hotels smell though. They've got that scent.
Yeah, but that's some bougie stuff.
We scent.
I used to work at a hotel.
Not the Glade plugins.
No.
It's not the Glade plugins?
No.
Dang, okay.
No, that is through their HVAC system. It is through their HVAC system and it is some, there's some nice.
I will say, you know what a good hotel smells like when you
I do.
And my Airbnb that's with those Glade plugins.
The lavender was, but that wasn't a Glade plug-in
lavender. The lavender diffuser. Yeah. Use diffusers. That can be a happy medium.
Like an essential oil situation. I could maybe get into that. Yeah. Okay, listeners. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. Together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, We will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.